Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Everybody, welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
As you can see, we have a very special guest today.
What?
Fellow comedian.
Yes.
You know, even though he may be a little younger than me, I consider him a big bro in comedy. And he's a father also.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcus Martin, everyone.
Oh.
Yeah. Woo.
We got the button. I know you can't hear it, but they can hear it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So where can they find you at, man?
Instagram underscore Marcus Martin. Follow me there. And then, you know, YouTube, comic Marcus Martin, comedian Marcus Martin. Facebook, comedian Marcus Martin. But Instagram for sure, underscore Marcus Martin.
Got TikTok?
Yeah, TikTok too. Comedian Marcus Martin.
Yeah.
Snapchat, ladies love to laugh.
Uh-oh.
I only accept women though, fellas, on Snapchat.
I only accept women. No dick pics. Yeah,
I only accept women on Snapchat.
Like, it's
for a reason.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Welcome in studio.
Yeah. We had him before. And yes. I just wanted to reintroduce everybody to Mr. Marcus Martin. We're delighted to have him in the studio. He's a professional when it comes to doing this comedy thing. You know, I had the pleasure, he agreed to do something for me when I was doing my room, and it was an honor to have him do that, and it's also an honor to have him in the studio as well.
That's right.
So it's been a couple of years, man. So what's been going on, man?
Same, grinding. It don't change.
Right.
You know, it don't stop. The shows don't stop. You know, they keep coming, keep going, traveling. That's about it.
So, has it been more often though?
Yeah, definitely
since we, you know.
I would say that. Yeah, definitely picking up. As far as like, I was telling somebody this, it'd be weird. Like, every year I get a certain area or a certain region or city that just keep bringing me back.
Okay.
So, like, a couple years ago, I had Virginia. I was in Virginia like 5-6 times throughout the year. The year before that, it was like Miami, Fort Lauderdale area.
Wow.
I was there like 5-6 times, and now it's like Pittsburgh. Like this year, I've been in Pittsburgh.
Black and yellow.
Yeah. Oh, you're black and yellow. Man, we in Cleveland. You saying black and yellow? Wait a minute. We can cut the show right now. Talk about that.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
On behalf of Midnight Paco, I have nothing to do with that statement.
I get it.
No,
but,
I'm a dog.
Yeah.
Black and yellow all day, baby.
See, he's from Erie.
I'm from Erie, Pennsylvania. So
yeah, I don't hold it against him.
Yeah, I grew up in PA. You know, rocking Steelers stuff. So I get it. It's rough.
Yeah, I've been. You know what? I love about Pittsburgh though. Cleveland's a beautiful city, but Pittsburgh is beautiful.
It's
water,
dope,
man.
Yeah, like, it's dope.
Your scenery is amazing.
It's dope. Yeah, all them one-way streets suck balls though.
Yeah.
Tell you that. Tell you that. Trying to get somewhere and you can't get there.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating. And so you gotta know exactly where you're going.
Yeah.
And as a trucker, you can get lost in the ribbons that they call bridges.
Oh, it's a lot of bridges.
Top of bridges.
The movie 21 Bridges was about Pittsburgh.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of bridges. Hella bridges everywhere.
They filmed Gotham, Batman there.
Really?
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Which one?
The one with when Hines Bane. Was running. Yeah, yeah, Bane.
Okay, yeah, yep, yeah. Yep, the Dark Knight. That's my favorite one. That's my favorite Batman. Yep. I love that Batman, Dark Knight.
Yep. So, because they said just the landscape, the way it looks, it's kind of like a dark
and gloomy.
Yeah, it does.
And very grim.
Old school.
Yeah.
Battling. Bunch of factories and stuff. Like.
Yeah.
Battling.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers said, I can't wait. This is going to be off the chain. Okay, we'll move.
Anyways, man. This is about Marky Mark. How dare you speak about Pittsburgh stuff?
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's cool.
I apologize.
No, the city.
Of Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is a great city.
Johnstown, PA, all that. Like, they've been bringing me back that whole area of mess with Marcus Martin. So, shout out to them.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Shout out to Pittsburgh.
So, let's recap. How long you been doing it?
I'm 13 years now.
Okay. 13 years. Damn, I'll be forgetting. Like that long into it, you know what I mean?
You know what was weird? I used to kind of be like, damn, I've been doing it that long. But I started to realize, like, when I see people like Lunel or somebody that's, you know, she's been doing it like 25 years.
Right.
Like, I understand, and you get the respect. Like a Roy Wood, he's been doing it 25 years. So you get, I understand, like, when you say someone, because at first I used to be embarrassed to be like, I've been doing it this long.
Mm-hmm.
But like, more respecting when you say that, like, okay, I see why they deserve these blessings and this and that.
Right.
And they still grinding.
Oh, yeah. Still grinding. It's not almost automatic. You know what I mean? You
still got to get these shows. They still grinding.
And that's the thing. That's why I don't understand, like, sometimes, like, comic beef or whatever the case, because everyone has to work together. I know you ain't got to work together with the same person or work together with that person, but you all got to put on shows together.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not one-man shows. I guess you could, but, like, come on. You know what I mean? You got to be a super huge name for a one-man show for the most part.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So.
And I don't understand the beef in a sense because we're here to make people laugh.
Yeah.
We're in the people business and we're here to entertain.
Customer service.
100%.
Right.
I can get frustrated.
Yeah. We can disagree, but for the most part, like, come on, man. We comedians.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So you've been doing it for like 13 years. Like, you know, like, how did you get into it?
My father was actually a comedian.
Wow.
Yeah, nice. My dad. And
it's in the blood.
Yeah. And then, like, as I further go into my, like, my dad's side of the family, as I got older and started to think about it, because that's what gave me, like, the plenty to see. He used to co-own a comedy club. And
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's Ohio, nice. Here?
No, Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. You're a ringer. You're a ringer. See? Yeah. He grew up in it.
Yeah.
He was going to the comedy club.
That's dope.
Yeah. I used to ask him as a kid. I'm coming with you.
Nice. Like,
that's still with him.
My dad?
Yeah.
He's
okay. Awesome. Shout out to your pops. That's what's up. That's wild because it's a different, because, you know, I grew up going to my uncle's bar. You know, it just wasn't a comedy club. Mm-hmm. I guess it was in a sense. Mm-hmm. So I go and laugh at my anyway, but that's dope.
I was late. It wasn't a sense. Well, I don't say late, but I started though when I was probably like 25.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, I mean,
that's a good start. We started in our 40s.
Yeah.
As long as you start.
Right. So you've always wanted to do it, or
you always wanted to do it, but where I'm from, Canton, Ohio, it's like really nothing. No comedy clubs, no nothing. So going back home, I didn't know even where to start.
Right.
Yeah, but once I figured it out, y'all got the funny stuff right there.
Yeah.
So it's almost meant for me to be here right now because that's my first club. That's where I started.
Yeah. It's our home club as well.
RPP.
RPP.
Yeah.
No, that's dope.
The club's in jeopardy.
Yeah, I already know, man. Yeah.
So you you know, you started out at the funny stuff and things like that, and you started at 25. That's a good, you know, at least you know what you wanted to do at 25.
Yeah.
I would be 50 in August. Yeah. I still don't know what the heck I'm doing. I have no idea.
Yeah, I knew because it's in my family. Man. My grandmother is probably one of the funniest storytellers, can impersonate people that I know. My uncles, my aunts, they would roast battles. Like, so it was just, as I got older, I started to realize that, oh, okay, this is what we good at as a family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. That's dope. So as far as that concerned, the comedy thing, like, you know, you said you want to venture out into some acting and you're not opposed to it?
No, I ain't opposed to it. I mean, in a sense, like, doing comedy now, you gotta almost do the Instagram skits and different things like that. So it's kind of part of it now. You gotta act out a character. Like, if you watch my Instagram, I've been turning that up a little bit more lately. Doing a lot more skits, a lot more videos. And because I know it's part of it, but it's times I be tired and don't want to do it, but I still do it and act out.
I mean, but you know, you have a stage presence that's kind of like animated and.
Yeah. I used to do plays. I used to do plays though.
Okay, high school.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, I used to be doing plays.
Yeah. I can see that.
I was
that.
in a drama class.
Okay, so yeah, you should wanted to get into some acting. I'm surprised you that's not like where you wanted to go. Like originally too.
I did a play in prison too. It was crazy.
Okay. So was that a part of a program in prison?
Yeah. Okay. We did Othello. Yeah.
Okay.
That was that open to the public or?
Yeah. A couple people came from outside and watched us do all that. It was dope.
Yeah, man. I heard about those. Mm-hmm. So it was like so. Do you feel like your theater background helped you with your comedy?
Yeah, 100% for sure.
Oh, you gotta think so.
For sure, like didn't know it then, but yeah, I needed all those tools now.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, stage presence.
Yeah, how to project. You know what I mean?
So you don't okay? Of course you don't now, but did you? You know, a lot of people their biggest fear is like public speaking, like. Mm-hmm.
No, I was never afraid of that.
Never afraid of that.
Yeah, because what taught me with that though in school, when we do the school projects, you know, people like, okay, you put it together and I present it. I'm good at that.
Oh, okay.
So you were the presenter. Right. Yeah, I'm the presenter. Okay. I'm good at that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a presenter.
But dude, you like, Marcus better be here.
Yeah.
That was one of you. Nailed them, huh?
Yeah, that shit.
No, that's important.
That's important, man.
And I always like to ask this, like, you know, I know you got your shows coming up and you're traveling and things like that, but if you can wave a reality magic wand, what will be happening with Marcus Martin right now?
I'll be on tour headlining theaters.
Okay.
Yeah, like constantly busy. That's the goal. And then like everything else come from there, like maybe a Saturday Night like Live for real.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Like stuff like that. And then just let everything else happen from there.
Wow, that's dope. So I know you've been doing it for like, you know, 13 years. And I know you watched your pops, you know, do with the comedy thing. Like, so what are, you have any other like comedic influences?
Yeah. Once I got into it, Seinfeld was one. Seinfeld taught me how to do a bit. I didn't know what a bit was.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like when I say I jumped in this head first, no nothing, just dived into it, no mentor, no, didn't write no jokes. I just knew I was funny.
Okay.
And head first, like right into it. But Seinfeld taught me how to do bits. I love Miles Mabley.
Okay.
I guess I did that. I went on YouTube, kind of did my research. You
right.
Know what I'm saying? I went back, you know what I'm saying, to the Pitt Meek Markham, to the Ellen DeGeneres is like, I love Ellen.
Okay.
Yeah, Ellen, man. Okay. Because how they make simple stuff funny.
Right.
Like Bill Cosby, you know what I'm saying? Despite him as a person, but his comedy, to sit down.
Yeah.
Like Ali Sadiq can sit down for an hour or plus and make you laugh.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. That's no moving, no acting out. Nothing crazy.
It's a normal day. I'm just sitting down talking to you.
Yeah, that's a blessing to be able to do that.
Right,
that is a blessing.
No, that's crazy. So, 13 years. Like, how? Do you have a manager?
No, I tell people it's me and God.
Okay. All right.
Just been grinding this and working it out.
So have you thought about like trying to so you call clubs and get booked or just because people you know or
I learned from Lunel a long time ago that because you know somebody asked a question like how do you get booked, how do you this, and she was like just be funny.
Right.
Just be consistently funny.
Right.
Do that and you ain't got to worry about getting shows.
Okay.
And when she said I'm talking about, you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Light bulb.
Yeah.
Moment. Be funny. Just be funny and you gonna get them shows.
Right, okay. So that's what I heard like when first starting off, like it takes 10 years. I'm like, I'm old as shit already. I ain't got 10 years. But then like being in it four, you know, you realize it's a process. So by the time you're in your they say like the 10th year, by the time you get, you're in those phases, you realize, because you learn more, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everything, stage presence gets better. Everything is just better the longer you do something, obviously. Right. But
with a level of comedy, like you said, the process humbles anybody. Like, yeah. Comedy is one of them games that humble anybody. For example, T.I. T.I. thought he could just get in comedy because of his name and go straight to the arenas and theaters.
Right, right.
I'm like, nah, you gotta start. You gotta start here at the bottom, fam.
I mean, you can if you're about to rock some shit,
but he ain't ready. No, now there's no new comedian. I don't care who you is.
I'm talking about his music, because he can feel
real. Yeah, his music, like definitely. Yeah, shout out to his music, but comedy is a whole different monster.
Yeah,
like you can't come into this game thinking I'm just gonna sell out arenas as being a comedian in your first year.
Right.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah.
You might just start right here, man.
Oh.
Because first of all, to develop this first 5 minutes, it's gonna take you at least a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about a strong 5-10 minutes, like a strong 5-10 minutes. That's gonna take you at least 6 months to a year.
So how do you feel about doing material over and over again?
I mean, you're supposed to. Comedy is repetition.
Okay.
We in different cities. We everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these people ain't heard this. But also, I encourage comedians too to try new stuff.
Obviously.
Like I said, like a lot of my stuff, if I think about it on stage, I say it.
Okay.
Yeah, like have that courage to say what, because a lot of times, you know, it's in you, it's on your heart.
Right, 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 right. Yeah. Right. Well, that's comfortability though.
Yeah. But trusting yourself. I learned to trust in myself. Trusting your gut, man. Trusting yourself. I just learned to trust myself.
That's so hard.
But also, like, you know, we hit up mics, and I don't see you too much doing that. So how do you do your new material?
I used to, though. I used to hit up a lot of open mics.
Okay.
That's how I started, man. Like, coming from Canton, Ohio, it was like, didn't nobody like know a comedian from there? They're like, he can't be funny. So I had to go to the shows for free.
I had to
pull up to a lot of open mics, and I had to like prove myself. Then once I proved myself, Akron, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Dayton, Toledo, like all over Ohio, then it's like, boom, Ohio know me now. Let me prove myself in Chicago, LA, Miami, New York, like Detroit. Let me go to these spots and prove myself.
Yeah,
that's what it was for me.
So like up. Now when you have new stuff, like how what do? You try a little bit at a show, or how do you
work? I'm gonna try my new stuff at like a smaller venue first.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But don't be afraid to try it. Try it. If it don't work immediately, you know what I'm saying, get up off of it. Yeah. I'm gonna go, like, I mean, I don't know if it works. A lot of comedians, because I know comics that if it don't hit at first, they still dig into it.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I immediately
scrap it. You abandoning it?
I'm abandoning it. I'm going to the next joke. Man, I ain't got time. They ain't messing with it. I'm cool.
What if you like it?
I mean, if I like it,
because you know how it is. Sometimes jokes.
With comedy, you can't take it personal. You hear it from the audience.
True. Is it all the time? But you said first time. You ain't even trying it out somewhere else.
I tried out somewhere else.
You gotta at least try it somewhere else. Because you know how crowds, sometimes they don't dig something, but unless they're digging everything. And that one thing they don't mess with, that might be a sign, but.
Yeah.
Either way, you gotta try another, you know, at least one more time.
And then you don't
scrap it, then you just revisit it.
Yeah.
From a different angle, if you really like it. If you don't care, if it's timely. So do you do topical stuff, or more just about your family or whatever?
More just like personal. What's going on. More so how like how I see life and how I different things. Definitely my kids, you know what I'm saying? I'm definitely talking about that. Just me though, for real.
Right.
I'm talking about me.
Yeah, no, that's the only way to go. I learned topical stuff. It's just so timely.
Yeah.
It's so terrible. Yeah. You know what I mean? It sucks. Yeah. So you gotta jump in at the moment, but then everyone's talking about it. So it's like, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
And I do topical stuff. You got to, because you gotta stay current.
Yeah,
that's one thing about comedy too. Yeah. You have to stay current. That's how you. That's the longevity in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta do the no ditties, but you gotta do it right now.
What's relevant right now.
It shows you still. It's almost like showing you still got it.
Exactly.
Come up with a new joke now.
Shit. But the thing about that is flash in the pan, and it's only lasting about a year or two.
Yeah.
I mean,
unless you're putting it out.
Yeah, I don't necessarily consider those like as material. That's just like right now. Mm-hmm. Like what's going on right now? Because people want to hear that. What's your point of view on it?
Right.
Yeah.
So do you focus more like trying to obviously build your set, right?
Yeah, build like my set.
Build your set.
So,
is there any Marcus Martin specials that's out now? Is it one coming in the future? Or
I got stuff on YouTube. I got stuff on YouTube. Type in comedian Marcus Martin. I did a special. Well, I headlined in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Back to Pittsburgh again.
Yeah. I'm done.
Back to Pittsburgh.
All right, I'm done.
But, yeah, it's on YouTube. It's a good, I gave it about 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, but I did specials back, like, doing it. See, I've been doing, I did, like, three specials during the DVD era.
Okay.
I got three DVD specials.
Oh, damn, okay. All right.
Yeah, then, man, yeah. You more so just have to go on YouTube and watch the 30-minute joint.
So do you feel like you're ready for that?
A special?
Yeah, like...
Yeah, now, yeah, I definitely got to document it.
So would you keep all that material, or it's all different stuff?
Once I do the material on the special, it's over with.
Okay, so all that stuff you already put out is burnt.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah, it's gone. Okay, it's gone. Okay. Got to come out with.
See, I'm coming out with all types of stuff.
Yeah, you got to. You got to. You got to, like, constantly write. You got to constantly think of what I used to do, though. Okay, too, what used to help, hosting. Okay. So as a host, you can't say the same stuff every time.
Right.
Especially if you hosting a show every week or twice a month.
Right.
Like, I heard that. He's just here last week. So you that right there in the beginning trained my mind, like, I gotta come up with new stuff. I gotta come up with new material all the time. You know what I'm saying?
That's where you can do topical shit, I think.
Yeah.
That's where you crowd work and do topical stuff. Yeah. You know what
Into
I mean?
The room.
Yeah.
Talk about that person that just got off stage and things of that nature. So do you like hosting?
I love it all. I love hosting in the sense ain't no pressure.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because it really ain't about you. It's about these comics.
Yeah.
You more so just here to warm up the crowd.
Right.
It's really about make sure the crowd good. Make sure everybody's straight. Make sure the bartender's straight. Everything's straight.
Right.
And we're going to keep this show going. We're going to keep it flow. And what I love about hosting now, that's when I do try new material.
Okay.
Hosting.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't got to be funny. I just got to be decent.
Right.
Yeah. You can see if your stuff hit or not.
Yeah. But I done had shows where it was like, man, you shouldn't have host. You should have been a headline.
Oh, okay. Wow.
That's a compliment to you. Should have asked. It's like,
Yeah, but that's not bad. I guess for you, you know, obviously for you. But you ain't gonna host for that dude again.
Yeah, you're right.
Terrible.
I love headlining though too. I've been headlining, I guess, for the past 3 years consistently.
Okay, so that's like an hour 45 to
an hour plus. You know what I'm saying? Doing private shows, all that. I'm gonna really give you a show.
Okay,
I'm put it on for you. Yeah.
So how long you been working the material?
Some of it, okay. Like Rob Island, another Cleveland goat.
Yeah.
He stick to the same material. And I learned from him what works. Stay with it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But you also do new stuff.
Right.
But especially if they never heard you. If this audience never heard you.
Yeah.
And you will get a feel for that. You kind of know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't never been here. They don't know what's going on. So it works. Stick with it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You can revamp it. You can make it better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely do that.
Okay. And dig into it a little bit more.
So, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's like, you know, like, When you hire for a gig, you know, I don't know about you, but when I see a thing, sometimes I'll be like, okay, I look at the demographics of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, white, black, mixed, older, younger.
Okay, why you on it?
You know, like, do you have a preference? Like, do you have like
preference of audience?
Yeah.
No, I mean I do. Okay, but that make it easy. If I get people my genre, my age, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it don't matter about race, but if I get people around my age or younger, like, that's easy. But as a comic, you want to make yourself uncomfortable. You put me in a show with old people. Put me in a show with anybody, for real. Like, if this what it is, this what it is.
What
I'm not going to run away from it.
Right.
Like, all white people, I'm like, this is what it is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember doing a show in Fort Wayne, Indiana. and I'm the only black guy in the building. Not just as a comic, I'm the only, not even an artist, I'm the only black guy in the building, comic, audience, all that. And a lot of them didn't say nothing to me on the way in. I said, that's fine. My goal, I got goals now. My goal is the people gonna speak to me when they leave.
Right.
And that's what happened.
That's nice.
That's definitely a mental hurdle.
Fort Wayne was probably like, I give it a good, maybe like 10 years ago. It was when
started.
I was probably like 3-4 years into the game.
Okay, all right, so you swam through that shit nice.
Because, I mean, that's what it is at the moment. That's the challenge. And you always want to make yourself uncomfortable. That's how you grow. That's how you get better. You know what I mean?
See, I'm trying to be work on getting comfortable to get uncomfortable.
Right. You got to get comfortable to get uncomfortable.
Get comfortable to get uncomfortable. Yeah, you're right. Baby. There are steps. Don't push me so much.
You're right. Yeah. No, that's dope, man. I mean, I never really heard of that, you know, being uncomfortable as a challenge. That's another way to look at it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Put me in.
Yeah, because you find new stuff. Because if you're funny, you know, your shit just instinct.
Yeah, I had shows. Okay, I don't know if y'all familiar with Ben Palmer. That's my guy. He do like the trolling.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm not familiar, but I look him up.
Yeah, Ben is real big, especially on TikTok. Like, that's my guy. And I did a show with him, and his shows is more like very smart intellectual, like people that be on the internet.
Okay.
You know, and like people that be in politics. I don't talk about politics.
Right.
But I did a show for them, and it was nothing. And I actually knew, okay, this ain't my audience. But I didn't shy away from it. We had two shows, and I just still went up there and gave them my best vibe. I gave them my best vibe.
How did it go, though?
It was horrible. And they didn't laugh at all. And this was probably like what we did at like 3 years ago. We was in Columbia. They didn't laugh at all. And I was just like, okay.
Damn.
But you know,
we've been there. We've been there.
Okay, how can I? But my challenge is, how can I get this crowd,
right,
his type of crowd, to laugh at me?
Right.
Like, you know, how can I make something funny for them? So that's what I was doing ever since.
That's
dope, man. You said you came up
with material for those situations?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, got you. Like, you know what I mean? You're like, fuck this. I ain't doing this shit ever again. You want to put me in this situation? Okay.
Don't force it, comics. Don't force it.
You can think about shit, though.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about life. They ain't laughing when you're on stage. You can get off stage. Just keep it pushing. Don't force it. I don't force it.
Well, what I've been trying to do lately is what he showed me, kind of, is like, when, you know, try and look at the crowd and say, okay, what do I think they'll like of my material? Because instead of coming with a set plan, because how many times I'll be ready to show up, but I'm about to talk about this. I get up there, I'm like, I don't know if they're going to like this.
You got to be aware of your genre. You got to be aware of your audience. You got to be definitely aware. Like, what taught me that? Okay, I did a show. It was an all-white party. And it was nothing but, I was probably the youngest person there. I think everybody was probably like at least 50 plus.
Okay.
Whoa. And my first thing when I went out there, I thought it was going to be funny. I was like, it looked like we in heaven right now.
That's the wrong thing to say for old people in the crowd. They're like, wait a minute. I'm glad to be here today. What you talking about?
I lost him immediately.
I mean, it's kind of funny, but yeah, I get it.
Yeah. If it was a younger crowd, then yeah. But
that was hilarious. I liked it. But I understand how they wouldn't like it.
Especially at 50. I'm pushing. I'm 47. Yeah, 60, I'm getting 70, close to this bitch.
Shit. I'm like, heaven. What? My uncle just died yesterday. What's going on?
That's wild.
Yeah, man. Like, those are situations you live and learn from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you got to do it, though.
Yeah.
You got to do it in order to learn from
it. It's a lot of intangibles with comedy. You almost just got to get on stage and do it. Like, people be asking for advice and this and that. Like, you can write 1,000 jokes, but when you get on that stage, it's different.
It's so different.
You got to get you're jumping in that water head first. I'm talking about with sharks, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
it's different.
It's wild, because I hate when I'm up there and you can just see somebody and you go up there with a good vibe and then somebody feeling this shit and you're just like, everything changes. Inside, you feel like different, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'll go through the motions, I'll get done, I'll tell him, I'm like, I didn't like it. He was like, oh, you did all right. I'm like, don't know. I didn't feel good.
We hard on ourselves is kind of pseudo. That's good to be hard on ourselves. I mean, we'll get better, but yeah, I mean, record it, and then take the funny parts. Okay, I was funny there. This was funny. Okay, boom, and then grow from there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, obviously.
Yeah, take that and be like, boom. This one I'm gonna keep. The rest, scrap that.
You know, hate watching that shit.
You gotta watch your tape.
I hate watching the tape. That's like football players when they had a bad game or some shit.
I used to hate it too. I don't watch myself with nobody in the room. I'm cool.
Okay. Oh yeah, nobody gotta see my cool.
No. You can watch it yourself and then let me know what you think. Because I'm very critical. Like, I'm analyzing it from more so like, how can I get better point of view?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Might be, or he might be laughing, but me, I'm really like, oh, I should have said this. Or, yep. I can add that. So yep. I'm like really yep. like, but yeah. that, shout out to Pete, R.P.P.
Yeah.
Was like, always record your sets.
Yeah.
Always
record your sets. You learn from them. Just like you said, NFL players, that's the game tape.
Yep.
You got to study. You got to be in that film. That's the game tape. You got to have that film.
Yeah.
So are you, speaking of Pete, are you clean? No, not really.
Clean comedy?
Yeah.
I can do clean. I do churches.
Okay.
I do anything. Like I said, I make myself uncomfortable. I'm going to make myself uncomfortable.
Where are you comfortable?
Where am I comfortable? Around my people, cussing, drinking. I need to smell some gunpowder in the air. You know what I'm saying? So we smell some chicken grease. You know what I'm saying? So, that's where I'm comfortable. That's where it's at. You know what I mean? Somebody coming through with a fly car and he got his girl. He got some, you know, chain necklace on and all that. And, you know, somebody got a babysitter. You got the, she got the big kids watching the little kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's female. That's what I want.
Big kids watching the little kids.
Yeah. She making ramen noodles with Fiji water. That's what I wanted to show.
That's classic.
Oh, Fiji. Yeah, that's classic. Yeah, yeah, shit. That's what I wanted to show. I make the best ramen noodles in the world. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There's a process to get them right. It's so good. What's your favorite?
My favorite? Chicken, of course. Shrimp, too. I do the shrimp.
I like it used to be the Oriental? Right. But now it's soy sauce flavor.
Okay.
Because they had to change it.
They said it was racist.
Yeah.
All that stuff is weird. Bring back the Redskins and the Indians.
So let me ask you this. Like, how do you feel about, filtering your words and things like that? Like,
I mean, that's the climate we in now in 2025.
Yeah.
Even I got teenage kids and they so sensitive when you say certain things. It's
right,
like,
right.
What? Like, my grandma and mom used to cuss me out.
Right.
This and that. And I that was normal.
Yeah. The gap is completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom didn't cuss, but I know my dad used to. And now he cries all the time. I'm like, what are we talking about here?
We're definitely in a different climate.
Yeah, but I tell comedians this, as long as it's funny.
There you go.
Funny.
That's how I feel about when, I've been in rooms where you know, some people just bring up racial jokes and it's like, it sounds like you saying racial stuff, but saying it in the name of comedy and it's not funny at all. It's right. like.
Yeah, but that once again, as a comic, they're making it personal. It's not personal. Stop making it personal. Don't go there and be personal. You have to be broad because this audience of different people.
Right.
So your jokes cannot be personal. It can be about you personally, but don't make it like, oh, it's really this and it's how I feel.
Right.
So do you think that's a crutch a lot of people talk about? You say broad, and you think a lot of people talk more about where they're from instead of thinking bigger?
You got to, in a sense, I believe, to think bigger, think more international. Going to New York taught me that. You got people from the Caribbeans there. You got people from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you more so got to think international.
You ain't going there telling Cleveland jokes.
That's
what I'm saying.
It ain't going to work. It ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
Talk about some jerk chicken and all that, but you own that's the,
unless you can flip Cleveland into their area,
right?
Unless
good, or just bring them to you. Just be more so about you and your personality. But
right,
like okay, that's the thing about a New York comic and an LA comic, they be around Mexicans or Latinos versus being here. It's there, but it's not like so much, you know what I'm saying? It's more black and white here in Ohio versus there. It's everything. You got Jamaicans and all that, so they can come with Jamaican jokes, they can come with all type of stuff that they experience as a person, like like you, if you lived around a Jamaican and an Asian, you can come with Asian stuff, like, but it's horrible because we don't really have that at an abundance.
I get what you're saying.
TV.
Yeah, yeah, that's how we learn from, about different cultures.
Yeah, but which is you know, a stereotype to begin with. Yeah. Most TV shows. So.
Yeah, like to go to a Latino Thanksgiving or something like that, when you like when you lived it, that's different.
It's
you
different.
Got more to talk about.
I got that shit locked.
Yeah. You know, it's like as far as, like, you know, your humor and, you know, compared to some of, like, the bigger names, like, what will you, like, I know you probably, you've done it, but, like who would you see, like, or who, let me just rephrase that, who would you like to go on tour with?
Like to go on tour with?
It could be local or well-known.
Okay, local, I mean, I do both. Local would be my dog, Chevy.
Okay. Shout out to Chevy.
Yeah,
hold it down.
Chevy.
Get out, Chevy.
Get out.
For sure. My dog, because we just compliment each other well. He's more steel and I'm more animated.
Right.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? So we go out there, we're going to give you that.
So we heard who you like to tour with locally. Who would you like to tour with nationally?
Nationally had to be like somebody I can learn from, somebody more my style. I would say like Donnell Rollins. Yeah. Or Red Grant.
Okay.
I would like to rock with them. Shout out to Donnell and Red Grant.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to rock with them. Like, I think I can learn a lot from both of them. Even a woman, I would like Miss Pat.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Miss Pat. Shout out to Miss Pat. She's been doing her thing.
Yeah, she's wild.
Yeah, I like her style. So I think, or Takara Williams. I like Takara too.
Okay.
Yeah, Takara. So I think I can learn from them. Just Nush. Like, I can learn from somebody like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you say locally. So have you ever thought about, like, starting your own tour?
I mean, in a sense, it happens organically for me.
Right.
I'm always somewhere. Out of state, in town,
making moves,
in the state, like always somewhere traveling as far as doing shows.
That's the thing about a comedian, boy. Once you start doing it, it's almost like you're just like a goddamn mercenary.
Yeah, man. You just
out there making moves.
Yeah, blowing in the wind, man. When the wind, you never know where the wind gonna blow you. Where
and,
you gonna
and
be?
Most
at.
Of the time, you know, you show up and there's other comedians that meet at that one place. You know what I mean? To do a show. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's local people and you come in to fill in, or you're headlining and they got people there to open and host and all that shit. But for the most part, you know, you show up and you're just meeting other people to do a show.
Right.
It's wild. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you run into people, oh shit. The more you do it, you know what I mean? Like, even like sometimes, like with us, we'll go to a different place. It's not far, and obviously it's one of the main nights, but it's like you don't expect to see somebody there every time. And, oh, okay, shit, you came out. That's what I'm saying.
Go to the festivals, because I done met a lot of comics through these festivals, and a lot of them got like kind of big names now. And or I go to a different state and still see them, or they book me in their state. Like, so the festivals is very important, especially in the beginning.
That was a trigger word.
No, he said go to the festivals. Do you participate in the festivals?
I will, definitely. You know, I still
that's a different
submit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I still
also,
do that.
Okay.
Because he knows it's a racket. We all know it's a racket.
It is politics, too.
Yeah.
It's definitely politics. Yeah. A lot of it just be wanting your money. You know what I'm saying? But it's like...
But I told him we should still submit to some festivals.
Yeah. Yeah, but y'all too. Y'all got a niche. Y'all also comedians, but y'all got a podcast, and a lot of festivals want podcasters too. So that'd definitely help y'all.
So you gotta check out the damn categories, dog. I don't know this.
Yeah, check the categories.
They ask
you, like, what do you do? Stand up or improv or podcast?
Yeah, I mean, this is a side gig, really. I'm trying to hit the stage.
Yeah, that's nice.
I mean,
yeah.
This is something we do both consistently at least once a week. You know what I'm saying? But it's still just like.
But that's why I'm here, because I realized the comedy game, this part of it.
Yeah.
Doing podcasts is part of it.
Yeah.
Doing the skits on Instagram or YouTube is part of it, man.
Part of it.
Right. It's all part
of it. That's why I said TikTok. TikTok's big, man. Yeah, you know what I mean? Definitely. That's a whole different audience.
Yeah.
You know, you think, I completely forget about the apps this way, but the apps are like just different audiences all around. Because there's a lot of people that aren't on Instagram that are on Facebook. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people on Facebook that ain't on TikTok. Mm-hmm. A lot more people that are not on TikTok because they think it's some kind of, you know, Chinese and their site. Like, everybody knows everybody's shit. The U.S. knows your shit. So, whatever. It's an awesome app.
You never know what video is going to do numbers on what app.
You're right.
Don't.
No, and don't, that is the truth.
Because I got videos that did crazy numbers on this, but barely nothing on that.
But you know what? It all has to do with, I guess, when you post it, what day you post it. Yeah, I ain't got time to wait on some bullshit. If I'm going to post something, I'm going to post it now. Problem is, I post shit like 1 in the morning, 12 o'clock. Ain't nobody up watching shit. Not here, though.
With that being
but
said,
in California,
everybody can hear our voice. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for continue to support. If you can see us or if you can hear us, we appreciate it. Oh,
because I posted it. That's why I posted at those times, because we worldwide, baby. Everybody across the globe will fucking tune in and hear our shit. So that's why.
If you can see us or hear us, we appreciate it all.
Love you all.
And another thing that we appreciate is Mr. Marcus Martin coming through finally. It's been a long time.
Yes. I was super stoked. Go check out his first interview.
Yeah.
I forget the episode because it was like 2 years, two years ago.
And it was through, what was it, through Zoom.
Through Zoom.
But we got him here. Look, I can reach out and grab him. He really here.
This ain't AI.
Hey, and I don't pull up for everybody.
And I appreciate that.
Don't pull up for everybody.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Appreciate having you here, sir.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And Jay, where can they find you at, baby?
Everybody, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the_great_CoreE. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both on the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
On Instagram. So, Mr. Marcus Martin, where can they find you once again?
Find me at Instagram at _MarcusMartin. That's where I'm at, and that'll lead you to everything else. So just type in comedian Marcus Martin, and it's gone.
You got a website?
Well, not a website, but I got they wouldn't want that. But I got a Google me. No, honestly, Google me. A lot of stuff is gonna pop up.
This other episode gonna pop up. I guarantee.
I chat GP myself. I was like, wait a minute, hold on, I need this. Who they talking about?
Nice.
Hey, what?
That's what I'm talking about. Appreciate having you here, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Catch y'all next week. Peace out. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast.